The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium. Good afternoon. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines that I call USA Inc. Today is November the 8th, 2016. It is the last day of voting in this current election season, this current election campaign, or this current political war, because as I heard a caller once correctly point out, that is what a campaign means. It's a war campaign. For example, when I participated in the Gulf War, well, I got a campaign medal for that. I got a little ribbon to put on my uniform. So, again, paying attention to words, and there is a civil war among races going on right now in this country. And today, sometime after the day, it'll probably be in the early morning hours, the Electoral College will cast its votes. Now, we're told that it's supposed to be based on the outcomes of the state elections and who they choose and their various elections for local politicians, for local judges, state judges, state politicians, but also they will be choosing a, what would we call them, a board member, whether they will be in the Senate or Congress, the House of Representatives. Those are board members to USA Inc., which is a corporation that incorporated sometime about 1871. So those are board members. A lot of conscious people I know, they have really been stressing local politics this election campaign, because no matter who get selected by the Electoral College, we're going to have a racist in office. We're going to have a racist white person in office. And I know a lot of people may be confused by that, but Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, the Clinton family, they have a history of practicing racism. A little bit more refined, we should say, than what it used to be. Let's say back in the 1800s, when there was a little less refinement of this system. So the Clintons are, in fact, racist. The evidence will show that. I don't think that if they love black people so much, they wouldn't have ripped off the Haitians for $10 billion that people contributed to help the Haitians after the hurricane. If they were not racist, they would not have been using racist dog whistles in the 90s to push legislation that was going to primarily increase the number of non-white people, primarily black people, on the prison plantation. They would not have flooded black communities with hundreds of thousands or more slave catchers to enforce their new slave codes and what have you. So I know it's a lot of people confused because the quote unquote diversity in the Democratic Party and with the current CEO being black, Barack Obama. So there's a lot of confusion going on there, and I understand that confusion. We shouldn't call people dumb. We shouldn't call people stupid. The correct term in this system would be uninformed about certain things, because it's not their fault. It's not millions of people's fault. I mean, it is ultimately on the individual to do their research, to make sure they have all the information, make sure that they are considering various sources for their information, and they're not just getting their information from one propaganda outlet because they like the propaganda that's being spewed. So, I mean, people in the United States have been programmed to huge degrees in this system. So when they do things that may seem logically incorrect, or they express illogical viewpoints, it's not because they're dumb. It's not because they're stupid. It's because they're normal. They're normal. They're like most people. And unfortunately, most people seem to be persuaded or are programmable that I could program them with whatever agenda that I have. So, but I don't think we need to spend much time pointing out how Donald Trump is a racist white male. So he has a history of practicing racism, loudly blowing those racist dog whistles during this campaign, this civil war between white people in politics. So I don't think I need to explain that. That's been his appeal, and why many of these racist suspects, and I would say what would be a correct term for them, confirm white racists. And I'm not talking about anybody with any kind of supremacy status in the system. A lot of these people are homeless. A lot of these people live under in poor housing conditions. They're not getting enough to eat, so they are not in a supreme position. There is circumstances or situations that have come about where they may be able to benefit from that white skin in a system of racism. But for the most part, they are turning out in huge numbers because they have not been benefiting from the system of racism. All the benefits been going to the top. People that I might logically agree with terming them white supremacists, because they're certainly in a supreme position. And so that's what they're really angry about. That's what Donald Trump represents, anger at the white supremacists on top of the ladder who have been shipping off their jobs and not giving them the opportunities that they thought was their birthright. They thought things were supposed to be handed to them by virtue of just being white, and they've had to struggle. They've had to compete on in the global labor market. And then not to mention that we live in a country that's practicing slavery through the 13th Amendment of the Constitution. So when jobs have been coming back, they haven't been coming back and available for white people, or let alone anybody else. What they've been going to is prisoners, regardless of their racial classification in this system of racism. So they have a lot to be angry about, but they're angry at the wrong people. They still have a worldview that, and it's because of their programming. But again, it ultimately comes down to the individual. But when you have mass communication, which is what these propaganda networks represent, where you got six big media companies control everything that you see, except for maybe 10% of the media, like Black Talk Radio Network would fall in that 10%. But the other 90% or more is controlled by people I could say are white supremacists, got a lot of power, got a lot of money, and that power that they wield is represented by their mass communication networks, which they use to program people. So again, nobody has any room to be pointing fingers and what have you. I don't think most people think about these things logically. But going to something I heard on The Barbershop, which is a program on Black Talk Radio Network that is produced by Cobra, he was talking about most black people don't have time to be studying candidates, to be reading the Constitution, to be reading up on laws and analyzing every people activity area that they engage in, because they trying to survive in a system of racism. And that, again, I would co-sign on to that. And why I don't look at people, I try not to look at people. Now, some people we know should know better, but they're just being deceptive and what have you. But I'm talking about the masses of our misinformed people, millions of them, in fact, who will cast a ballot for a racist, no matter who, what party that racist belong to, the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. So I'm not going to say that they're stupid. I don't know, though. I mean, it's not so much as stupidity, but also it is they have allowed themselves to be compromised. Because when you have outlets like WikiLeaks showing you that a person is a crook and engaged in underhanded things, and some things are even illegal that this person is engaging in, and you still co-sign, you're that co-signer. When you cast a ballot for that, for that person, you basically is like, you are like a co-signer. You know, when you go to get a loan and they check your credit and your credit is bad, so you have to go get a co-signer. So that is what you're doing. You co-signing in, you vouching for Hillary Clinton, a racist. You're vouching for her that she will be the next, the best CEO of USA Inc. in your opinion, and you can just ignore all these other things. So some of this stuff is willful ignorance, but for the most part, most people don't have time to do all of this kind of research. That's why they tune in to television news programs, radio programs. Because those people get paid to do that. But here's the problem, though. Those people don't get paid to give you an honest, objective opinion or presentation of the facts. They get paid to propagandize you to follow the agenda or whoever's paying them. So, regardless of who becomes the next CEO of USA Inc., people who are victims of this system, and there are many, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Have you already started planning 4 years in ahead what your strategy is going to be? See, let me describe it this way. Look at Wall Street. Have you noticed on the reporting of different things having to do with the presidential election, again, that's the CEO of USA Inc., how the stock market has been jumping up and down and movement based on news related to that? That's because the CEOs of all these different corporations whose stock are traded on Wall Street, they plan ahead. They have projections that are years out, and they plan. So they have a contingency plan for if Donald Trump is the CEO, becomes the CEO, or if Hillary Clinton becomes the CEO. They have a strategy that they've already laid out on worst case scenario, how they are going to deal with that person, whoever it is. So I'm asking the abolitionists out there, the counter racists out there, anybody that is trying to counter the system in whatever way you're trying to counter the system, do you have, in fact, come up with two plans strategically on how you're going to deal with who they call the most powerful person on the face of the planet? And regardless of whether they have a puppet status or not, that is still the most powerful position on the face of the planet right now. And they can express their free will if they so choose. They don't have to be puppets. They can do things to practice justice. We've seen people get killed because of that, and that's why they don't practice justice, because they cowards, they afraid to die instead of coming into the situation with your own security team and just taking all precautions. But look, nobody's safe on the battlefield, but you got a bunch of cowards who get in these positions and they bow down to the powers behind the scenes that's cutting the deals in the smoke-filled rooms. But still, that CEO is the focal point of everything that happens in the world. That CEO is the focal point, the CEO of USA Inc. So how do you plan to deal with Hillary Clinton as an abolitionist? How do you plan to deal with Donald Trump as an anti-racist? And mind you, if you got two battle plans on how to oppose whatever their racist agenda is going to be, whatever their anti-human, anti-liberty, anti-freedom platform, whatever they try to push through, I don't care what they've been telling you up to this point, once they get in there, that's a different ball game, and we've seen that over and over and over. So to me, it's just simple. We know that we're getting a racist. We know we're getting an unindicted criminal, whether we're talking about Donald Trump, whether we're talking about Hillary Clinton. So we have to be determining how we're going to battle these people on the battlefield. Again, my primary activity is an abolitionist. Being an abolitionist, it does intersect with other things like the system of racism and countering racists. So how are we going to counter? So those are some of the questions that I have for you today. If you would like to chime in, you can give us a call at 641-7. Well, I got a couple of numbers. Let me put this out first before I give out the number. And I need to change up the future promos and give both numbers. But Skype is a piece of garbage. That is what we had been using to take your calls from the public with a 7-digit number, 704-951-5030. It's a piece of garbage, and it is not stable right now, and it is not consistent to do a radio program. So we have just fell back on the secondary system, which is always the free conference line. It is working, works great, but some of our callers reported that their carriers, whether that be T-Mobile, whatever local carrier you may have, because you have some of the smaller ones, whether it be Sprint, whoever, are charging 1 cent a minute for people to call in to free, I stress the word free, conference line. So I gave it some thought, went back and forth with someone, and I just came up with the idea, okay, we're not using Skype, the 704 number, so let's just forward the calls from that to that number to the conference line, and then it should ring into the conference line. They just put in the code and it will put them into the right conference. So I ran the test and it worked perfectly. You will not be charged if you use the 704 number for the conference line instead of the 641. But both numbers will in fact work. So let me give out those numbers. 704-951-5030. The participant code is 5490-32#. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to come in on air. The other number is 641-715-3660. And the same participant code, which is 5490-32#. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to come in on air. And of course, there's always the flash phone that's embedded on the blacktalkradionetwork.com page, where you saw the description for today's program and may in fact be listening. So those are the numbers. So I'm just going to keep it simple. I'm not sitting over here stressing out or watching the TV and checking the news to see who might become the next CEO of USA Inc. To me, it doesn't matter. They both have a track record of racism. The one who concerns me the most is Hillary Clinton, because not only does she have a track record of racism and slavery in her background, but she also has facilitated situations around the world that has led to huge losses of life on the planet. Look at Honduras, all those activists and indigenous people trying to protect the environment, trying to hold on to their land, being killed by the right-wing, corporate-friendly government, which took over after the elected president in a democratic fashion was ousted in a coup. And the United States backed this, Secretary Clinton backed this, Secretary of State. She backed this. One of the famous, I forget her name, but she was well known for her activism and organizing in Honduras, got assassinated. Them activists down there laid that at the bloody feet of Hillary Clinton. Look at Libya. Look at Libya. We know now through leaked emails that there were internal discussions behind the scene in the Obama administration about should they or should they not overthrow this country to prevent the implementation of a gold-backed currency for African nations. So these white supremacist nations with their proxy racists like Barack Obama came up with a plan and said, you know what? This would really knock white people off the top of the economic ladder. The African gold-backed currency will be the preferred currency of trade, and they will not accept our little funny money monopoly dollars from the Federal Reserve for those minerals that we need, minerals, metals that we need that we can't find nowhere else unless we come in with some gold. So what we got to do is we got to murder Gaddafi and overthrow that country and install some puppets. So the Pentagon argued against this and said that this would really destabilize that region further. It would also open up Europe to a bunch of jihadists, and that the country would remain war-torn for quite some time. It would look exactly like Iraq. It would look like Afghanistan. So from what I've read, Barack Obama, CEO of USA Inc., didn't listen to the Pentagon. He listened to his girl, Miss Ann, Hillary Clinton, who was arguing to overthrow Libya, because her aim was to do that to facilitate not only to keep them Africa from getting this gold-backed currency, but also to help them to continue overthrowing Syria on the behalf of Israel, not for the behalf of you, the taxpayer, or whatnot. Not that we should be allowing people to overthrow and perpetuate all this violence all over the planet in our names, but she said in the email she was doing it for Israel and what have you. So she had several reasons as to why she argued for the regime change, as they call it. Again, this is a country right now on this day says that we're an example to the world on democracy, but yet we won't let other people around the planet, and I use that word we lightly, let's just say Americans, don't have a problem with their government going all around the world and preventing people and nations from self-determination. It's the greatest hypocrisy of all, man. It really is. So, we know Hillary Clinton's a killer. We know she don't care about a whole bunch of non-white people getting killed, because as I stated earlier this week, Sidney Blumenthal's emails telling her that these racist Arabs that we use to overthrow, hey, they're committing human rights crimes against black people, African immigrants, and what have you. And this is just, they're targeting people. What did she do? Crickets. Didn't even respond back. How you gonna ignore all of that? Donald Trump, this man brags about being a serial molester, has a lawsuit against him, thousands of lawsuits against him, but one primarily that I'm keeping an eye on is in New York, and the trial will open, the civil trial. He should be facing criminal charges, but the civil trial, that's why I call him an unindicted criminal. The civil trial will begin in New York and sometime in December, where a lady alleges that when she was like 12, 13, maybe 14, that she was a victim of sexual slavery, exploitation, sexual trafficking of the billionaire Jeffrey Epstein, a good friend of Bill Clinton's and the Democrats, give him a lot of money and whatnot. And so she is a victim of his because he's named as a co-defendant with Trump in a lawsuit. And he had a party in New York, and she was raped by Donald Trump and was beaten by Donald Trump and threatened. She alleges in this lawsuit that he threatened to kill her if she told anybody. So it took her about 20 years to gather up her courage, and then these other women coming forward. So she said, it was a long time ago. I'm still haunted by that. I need to go and do this for my self-healing, and people need to know as well. So either way it go, we got an unindicted criminal that's going to be CEO of USA Inc. So if you one of them people, if you're going to be having a party, if Hillary Clinton's winning, you're going to be high-fiving and slapping each other on the back, and you a black person and you a victim of this system, I just have to say we really need to get you some help. You can find that help here on the network. All you got to do is ask questions. People are more than happy to share with you, explain things to the best of their ability, but you need some help. You need some help. We need a deprogramming program. So, with Donald Trump. What if Donald Trump win? I can see Don King with his red, white, and blue suit on, talking about my nigga won, Donald Trump. And man, come on. No matter who becomes the CEO of USA Inc., we will have to fight them for our human rights, for our right for self-determination. It is not just our lives behind these enemy lines that hangs in the balance that will be severely impacted one way or another, but also our global family members. I care about what happened to other people throughout the world. I really do. I do understand that we have a global system of racism and slavery. I really, really do. And I empathize with those people around the world. That is why they look to black people so much, and they shouldn't do that, because I'm telling you, we are being, for the most part, educated by our enemies. They spent centuries of breeding passivity into us. Terrorism, 400 years, then educate your children and tell them lies like slavery was abolished and you should thank this white man named Abraham Lincoln, who was a racist, for freeing your ancestors and all that kind of garbage. So they shouldn't be looking to us, because we, for the most part, are very confused people. Very, very confused. So those are my thoughts. Again, you are welcome to share your thoughts. The telephone numbers are 704-951-5030. The code is 549032#. Hit *6 and 1 if you would like to comment on air. The 641 number, 715-3660, is also good, and you can also use the flash phone. So I'm going to take a station identification break. I'm taking a couple of minutes early. Going to be on air up until the 5 o'clock hour, just to let you know we do have some more programming, live programming for you tonight. Coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time will be Tando Radio Show today. From 6 to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, it is pretty much an open lines. Open lines is what he posted for his promo today. Then at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, it will be a special three-hour broadcast of Code Breakers looking at election 2016. They have a lot of interesting questions about the people activity area of politics. So they will be doing a special three-hour broadcast. Again, they will air live at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, based right here on the Black Talk Radio Network. You can find out about more upcoming program on the station, but you can find out about programming on other stations by visiting our network home at blacktalkradionetwork.com. I'm going to take a break, and then we will be back shortly.
The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio for the masses.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. Revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. A people's revolution can't be stopped. We need to be weapons of mass construction. Weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Are you ready to sacrifice to end world hunger? To sacrifice to end colonialism? To end neocolonialism? To end racism? To end sexism? Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. Revolution means treating your mate as a friend and an equal. Revolution is sexy. Revolution means respecting and learning from your children. Revolution is beautiful. Revolution means is love.
What if we didn't let mainstream media pretend hundreds of Black leaders don't exist as their way to prevent us from realizing our collective struggle and our strength. Picture it. If we really knew, what would real black unity look like? Visualize it. What if the black world could put aside our differences and come together to not just talk, but to truly create solutions? Converge on Newark, New Jersey for the Historic State of the Black World Conference, the interorganizational black unity event of the century. Join us November 16th through 20th, 2016. 5 full days of strategic and tactical collaboration sessions to take back control of our communities and resources worldwide. Don't just wait for someone else to solve our problems. Become a part of the solution. The State of the Black World Convention, November 16th through 20th, 2016, Newark, New Jersey. Register today at www.letsbuyblack365.com/events/.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Give up on my way.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. My name again is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. They have been reporting, like, the state that I live in, it's one of the battleground states and what have you. Again, I'm not paying a whole lot of attention. While I am paying attention, I'm not paying attention, if that makes sense. I'm not stressing out over who's going to be the next CEO, because I already know we're getting a racist. That's all I need to know. We're getting a racist, a violent person, a person who has talked about killing millions of people, practicing racism. We got one guy who wants to, we got a male and a female. Okay. But we got Donald Trump. Let's break it down. I'm an abolitionist. So the thing at the top of my agenda is ending legalized slavery in this country. That is permissible under the 13th Amendment and has led to the world's largest prison population, prison slave labor. That is what my main agenda is about as an abolitionist, by any means necessary. I have said it, I'll say it, keep saying it. I don't care if that's by blood, if that's by ballot box, if that's by however else people get things done. It don't matter, by any means necessary, as Malcolm X is often quoted as saying, by any means necessary. So Donald Trump, if he is the CEO of USA Inc. tomorrow, then me and my abolitionist comrades, we know that we're going to really have to press this man, fight this man, because this man has expressed support for privatized slavery through these private prison corporations. He has talked about being a law and order president and all that kind of dog whistles we've heard before. The Clintons were blowing them in the 90s and what have you. Talking about increasing the number of slave catchers on the street. Talking about African American communities specifically, and also Latino communities and what have you. So I will see. I don't expect anything to change. I expect things to get worse in those people activity areas. He's already said, if he's good to his word, I'm going to take him at his word. Which I don't think his word is worth a crap. But when people tell you certain things, sometimes you do need to believe them, especially depending upon the context of what they're saying. And this man has expressed support for private slavery. In fact, wouldn't have a problem with it increasing. And if it increases in this country, slavery that is, it will increase worldwide. So we'll be looking at another possible 4 years. Then we'll be looking at the racists on the low end of the totem pole, the ones that's running around with EBT cards in their pockets right now, thinking somebody then stole something from them. Most likely pointing a finger at Hispanics. They not pointing a finger at black people this time around, but they hate us all the same. but they running around mad, disaffected. If that man is elected president, they may feel emboldened to engage in future acts of terrorism. They may even step it up. Now, no, I did not say they will start committing acts of terrorism. I said they will increase their activities of terrorism, burning down churches, beating up people, killing people, all kind of garbage. The cops will be emboldened, the slave catchers who have endorsed them, most of their unions have endorsed them, they will feel emboldened to be even more brutal in them enforcing the supreme law of the land, which is slavery. So I know what I'll be looking at. I know what areas. I mean, it will be like we lost some ground. Now, if Hillary Clinton is the next CEO of USA Inc., domestically, I will be, as an abolitionist, I'll be looking to put pressure on her and her proxies to do what she publicly promised to do, and that is end private prisons, to abolish private prisons in the United States. She has said this. Do I trust her word? No, I don't trust her. Of course I don't. The woman has a public view and a private view. After encouragement from the abolitionist community, Black Lives Matter activists, which have had some access to some of these showcase people in the system, put her on the spot and asked her about the campaign contributions she was taking from private prisons and bringing up the issue of, quote, I don't use that word, I don't like to use it, mass incarceration, but slavery. It's slavery. They put her on the spot. She said, I will end private prisons. We think that Bernie Sanders, who was key in getting that bill introduced, the Justice is Not for Sale Act 2016, is languishing in college. I mean, excuse me, in Congress. I said college. I'll be looking to put pressure on her and her proxies to make that become law, because that will be a very important battle won in the war against slavery, legalized slavery. We ain't talking about no metaphorical slavery. We're talking about legalized slavery. I heard someone say there's nothing worse than the enslavement of the mind. No, physical enslavement is worse than enslavement of the mind, because then they got your whole body. They don't have just your mind. They have your whole body. Physical slavery is the worst. So then I will also be concerned about, on an international scale, Donald Trump don't talk too much about foreign policy. He's not really saying nothing that indicates to me that he's going to do anything different than Barack Obama, George Bush, any of their predecessors. But Hillary Clinton scares me on the international front. It is my belief, as she is the CEO of USA Inc., that another war will pop off somewhere in the world, or the current wars that are going on, and I'm using the word war to mean military, violent military conflict with other people, other nations, in terms of declared war, like you're supposed to do according to the Constitution. Well, they haven't had one of those since World War II. The CEOs of USA Inc. have been allowed to acquire new powers to wage war globally without the consent of Congress. They will have a ceremonial type thing where they might ask for permission, but even if they're denied, they're going to do what the heck they want to do. Who's going to stop them? Huh? So Hillary Clinton concerns me on that front. It concerns me for the people of Palestine. They could be wiped out during one of her terms. She is very, very pro-Zionist. She's a Zionist. She's even talked about passing laws here in the United States to stop you from criticizing anything a person practicing Judaism is doing, because they want to confuse you with words, or not really confuse you, but they know most people don't know the definition of words. So they accuse, they want to legislate anti-Semitic legislation, meaning if I criticize Israel for practicing racism, white supremacy against black Israelis and the Palestinian people, or practicing genocide and many human rights crimes, they can arrest me. If anybody talks about boycotting Israel, any companies associated with, oh, that's going to be illegal. She's talked about these things. See, you don't know because Steve Harvey didn't tell you about it, or Ricky Smiley didn't, you know, in between the jokes, they didn't have time to slip that in there. So that's why you don't know these things. So again, I stress to you, no matter who gets selected by the Electoral College in less than 24 hours, no matter who gets selected, we will in fact have a racist and an unindicted criminal in the most powerful position on the planet as CEO of USA Inc. And again, my only question is determining which battle strategy I'm going to use. Because it has to be customized. You got different enemies, so different enemies are doing different things, so you have to tailor make your plan, just like they do in sports. When they're getting ready to play a team, they scout the team, they learn their weaknesses, their strong points and what have you, and then they come up with what they call a game plan based off of analyzing their opponent, analyzing the enemy. They can't use the same game plan for a different team week in and week out unless that team is very similar to the one they're game planning for this week. So that's the only thing I'm doing right now. I'm game planning for the next unindicted criminal racist who will be the CEO of USA Inc. And there's not one I could say that I prefer over the other one. I think about it logically. Because if I say I prefer Hillary Clinton because she's more susceptible to passing legislation, even if it just brings minimum relief to the slaves, just minimum relief, then that would be the person I would want to see selected. But then I'm at the same time, though, I'm looking at all these countries full of non-white people that's on fire right now, and people aren't safe, and they're being killed, they're being murdered, they're being chased from their homes, they're homeless in several different countries, and I can't be selfish like that. When I look at Donald Trump, I'm more concerned about him domestically. And what he might inspire. He might inspire an increase in slave catching, terrorism against non-white people, black people, Hispanics, and what have you. So, I mean, it's a lot of stuff that'll be going on. And even if they lose, if Trump loses, we still got to watch out for them races. But again, you should be already watching out. Shouldn't nobody be moving behind these enemy lines thinking we living in peace times, having parties, because I don't know why you would be celebrating tonight regardless if Hillary Clinton wins or Donald Trump, especially if you're a black person victim of racism. Nothing to celebrate. You did not win. All right, what you should be doing is formulating your plan on how we gonna try to influence, force, coerce this government to bring relief to our people. So that's what I'm thinking about today. It's how people are going to react. All right, we do have a call. We got Brother Max, my abolitionist comrade, host and producer of New Abolitionist Radio, the award-winning radio program, New Abolitionist Radio. Welcome to BTR News, Max.
Peace, Brother Scott G. Just sitting here listening to you, pretty much answered the questions that you asked yourself. We're going to keep fighting white supremacists running the United States of America. The plan ain't going to change but so much. Anything that they can do, they already or have been doing. It can get worse or better, but it's not going to change what I'm going to be doing tomorrow too much. You know, I see that they're claiming that the Hispanic vote has driven a lot of what's going on right now. I don't know if they're taking it for granted that it's either Democrat or Republican that they're voting towards. I would think it might be the latter. But I can see also that the black vote is pretty much down. It is just, you know, it's not up to the levels that they would expect it to be or wanted it to be. And I can completely understand why that's the case right now. Abolition isn't even on the agenda. Nobody's talking about, you know, freeing anybody. It just doesn't come out of no one's mouth. And that's something that's very concerning to us. We're looking for freedom for the innocent. There's a lot of innocent people in these prisons and jails, a lot more going in every single day. And the best we can get out of them is a promise to release the equivalent of what they arrest in 3 days.
You're talking about latest movements by the current CEO, Obama, and yes, their big announcement and people slapping him on the back and high-fiving and saying, hey, he's doing a great thing here. He's setting 6,000 slaves free, and while at the same time, the slave catchers are going to catch 6,000 and much more in that same period of time.
Yeah, and that seems to be the best that we can get. As you mentioned also, the Justice is Not for Sale Act or some kind of comparative legislation that is being promised from the Clinton administration. We need to hold them to their feet for that. We really need to push that issue and continue to push the Justice is Not for Sale Act. You know, when it was put out, I'm pretty sure they thought it would be dead in the water, but we have the ability to resuscitate it and make it an actual fact. So in combination with that, movements towards removing any kind of language that allows for slavery in both state and federal constitutions, and exoneration pushes to fight to get freedom for those people who are being incarcerated unjustly, that's got to keep moving. It's got to get even more intense now. If they start arresting more of us for less reasons like they have been doing, then we got to fight harder.
Speaking specific legislation and what have you, you mentioned the 2016 Justice is Not for Sale Act, but one thing I am paying attention to and interested in finding out the results, again, CEO USA Inc., we getting a racist and an unindicted criminal. No surprise there, okay? So what I do want to see is the results of these ballot proposals to legalize cannabis in 2016 in several different states, right, and particularly California, which is the largest state in this so-called union. And usually what California does, not all the time, but what California does, other states follow suit, even though it's been smaller states that have been, I would say, out front in leading the effort to decriminalize or legalize cannabis. So let me just share this quick information from alternate.org. It says in less than 5 days, so this article is 5 days old, 9 states will be voting on cannabis-related ballot proposals, potentially doubling the number of states that allow the recreational use of cannabis. I mean, that's just crazy that a grown man or a grown woman that pay taxes, that join the military, that whatever, have to ask for permission from another group of people to use a plant that grows naturally all over this planet. So anyway, so we get, if those states measures passes in those states, it will potentially double the number of states that allow grown folks to recreationally use cannabis, and also expanding the therapeutic benefits of cannabis use to millions of Americans. And that's based on the science. It does have great medicinal benefits. It's just illogical for people to keep demonizing this and repeating the reefer madness propaganda of the 30s. Arizona is one of those states. California, Florida, Maine, Montana, Nevada, Massachusetts, Arkansas, and what else? Arkansas and North Dakota, I think. Yeah, I think that was 9. So I'm interested in seeing if those measures pass, because it just takes a weapon of war out the toolbox or the war chest of the slave catcher out there. Now, people try to sit up there and manipulate the statistical data and make it fit whatever context they're trying to sell. But there is no denying that less black people got put into the system of slavery, whether they just got ticketed and fined and had to go to court, pay the cost of court, or got sentenced to jail time, or if they got sent to the big plantation on the prison, to the prison. So in these states like Colorado, Washington, other states, we've had 4 years worth of data. Studies have shown that those type of arrests for possession, manufacture, and distribution of cannabis have dropped by over 92% in Colorado, if I remember that number, but it's in the 90 percentile. So you cannot tell me just because that the people, the 5% who are getting arrested happen to mostly be black. Well, not just happen to be, but the slave catchers target them because, oh, you only supposed to have an ounce. You can only transport an ounce. You got an ounce and a half, so I got to give you a ticket for that. You know what I'm saying? That's what they get. That's how they are still getting people on that, because people are not following the law. And they're trying to transport more than whatever the law says they can transport. But still, though, that's still, you cannot argue with this numbers. This is people who are no longer being targeted for slavery with the weapon of weed, of criminalized weed. Your thoughts, Max?
Well, I think that is indeed one of the things that's on the ballot that could cause a huge ripple effect. The more states that legalize and move towards recreational legalization, the more money literally is available for those states, and also the next people that are going into these prisons for profits. So instead of investing in jails, you can invest in education. If the states are being run properly by people who have the priority straight. But another one that is also capable of creating a very large ripple effect would be on the ballot in Colorado, where they're attempting to move the exception clause from their state constitution. In the past few years, we've seen at least 3 or 4 efforts to do that in various states like in Maryland, for instance, and Indiana. This could be the first one to succeed. And if it succeeds, can we get the other states to follow suit? That's not something that has to be on the ballot right now. You know what I mean? Like, we can get that pushed in the immediate future as well. But that could be a huge victory if Colorado takes the exception clause out of their state constitution. I mean, what will that cause? One example would be people in Colorado would be voting in prisons, because you no longer can take that right from them. They're U.S. citizens. They're not property. So now they can vote in prisons. And Colorado has some of the biggest supermax prisons in the entire world right there. Some of their counties are prison counties, where damn near everybody works for the prison.
I am so glad you mentioned that, Max. That had totally slipped my mind about that. That would indeed be historic. It will also give us something as abolitionists to point to and say, that the exception clause that allows for slavery as punishment for crimes, crimes you made up that aren't really crimes. They're only crimes because a bunch of politicians said that grown folks can't do this or can't do that. And they got enough votes, passed it, and the CEO of USA Inc. signed it into law. That still don't make them crimes to me because I don't take my authority from them. My authority is logic. Okay, and so that would be huge. That would be huge, not only for the people of Colorado, but I would say it would be huge throughout the world because we know the system of slavery is global as well.
Yes, indeed. It's continually pushing the narrative that this is illegal, that it's illegal, and we have to start changing things because it is illegal. And once we get to that recognition, then we just start pushing it as, you know, maybe prosecuting some people and ending some things that are crimes against humanity. For instance, you know, what we're going through right now with these private prisons and the Department of Justice decision to phase them out over the next 25 years. Man, that don't even sound right. I'm coming off my mouth, 25 years. Again, they're weak promises to that they take a lot of credit for. So we've got that going on, and ICE as well is considering the same thing. But whatever it comes, Scotty, this election is not going to change our lives tomorrow. What is potentially could change our lives tomorrow is if these dogs who have been barking about a civil war actually try and play Froggy and jump. That could change our lives tomorrow. So they're the wild cards. I've already told my family members to stay home tomorrow as much as possible. Let the history play itself out. Don't put yourself in a position where you're out in public if it's unnecessary in trips where these crazy people might be, where they might go Columbine on us all of a sudden. And, you know, there's going to be three or four lone wolves who are very likely already planning this. The FBI has already found several cells, and so far at least one cell has killed three policemen, and it's leading up to the election. So I would suggest that, you know, if you're concerned with your safety and your family, just take a day and relax at home. Don't do nothing. You know, let these people let their steam off and see what happens.
I think that is a great suggestion, Max, and thank you for making that suggestion. You know, it's sort of like when Dylann Roof did that act of terrorism, racist terrorism against those black people down there in South Carolina at the church. After that, and then we start getting reports of churches being burnt down. And you know, I live next door to a community church. You know, many of people that I know grew up with, their parents, them, their children go to this church, even though I don't go to church. I was out patrolling at all hours of the night. I did it just like if I was on guard duty, because I was on guard duty, and I was going around. The church, checking the church once on the hour, okay? Once on the hour, and then looking out my window at different times if I was in that area of the house. So I was vigilant, man. I was being vigilant. And so that's what I would say, especially if people live in a county like I live in that's 80, almost 90% white, and you know they've already had, like, the flag Confederate rallies like they had in my county when the Confederate flag was taken down from the South Carolina State House flagpole, and they had their little rally here. So if you live in an area like that and you see these people, they had their little rebel flags on, you know where you live. At least you ought to know where you live. And yes, you should be extra careful, extra vigilant, get extra ammo, and just be prepared for anything.
Right.
Max, we got to close out, man. It's around the first of the month. Congratulations. Another strong month of broadcasting here on the network. New Abolitionist Radio certainly had strong numbers. So I do need to get to some of the other reports. We, again, listeners, we will have more live programming for you tonight beginning at 6 o'clock. Coming up in less than an hour, Tando Radio Show. And then 9 o'clock tonight, Code Breakers doing a 3-hour special on the election. So y'all can check that out as well. Max, did you have any final comments you would like to leave with the listeners as we go to wrap up BTR News?
Indeed. Tomorrow, be concerned for your safety and try to stay as safe as possible. Call somebody you love and let them know that you're okay. If there's some kind of a check-in on Facebook where you say, I'm safe, do that too, because these nutcases are out here, and just be wary of them. That's all. It shouldn't last too long. Peace.
All right, Max. You be safe behind these enemy lines. All right. Until tomorrow night, New Abolitionist Radio, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, where I co-host, co-produce along with Max and Johannin, New Abolitionist Radio, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I will be back on air with BTR News Thursday at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We should be joined by Brother Kwabena Rasuli of Clear the Airways Project. Recognize the fact that you live behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Slavery is the supreme law of the land. Don't take my word for it. Go read the 13th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. When you come to the realization that slavery was never abolished, then you're going to have to ask yourself a question. Am I an abolitionist or am I a slaver? There is no in between. There is no fence riding. You either are or you're not. So when you come to that realization, hopefully you'll choose the right side and you'll get into this war. You'll get into this war to end slavery once and for all by any means necessary. But since there is a war going on, you need to move behind these lines in such a manner that you don't put yourself at unnecessary risk, because the slave catchers are patrolling, they are patty rolling people out there, and so we have to combat against that. We have to counter that. So be safe out there. Again, heed the words of Max. I hadn't even thought about that, but it's gonna be some very unhappy people tomorrow, especially if Donald Trump loses. So be prepared. Put a shotgun in every corner of the house. Make sure you got the right, got enough ammo, just in case you have to prepare to defend your home, because you got a bunch of rabid races out here want to burn everything down because their puppet didn't get selected. This is Scotty. Y'all be safe. Peace and blessings.